Conservative Party members... Blog
Talk Radio.
...with the winner due to be announced on the 5th of September. Trade Minister Penny Mordaunt is seen as a favourite among members, but it's former Chancellor Rishi Sunak who has the most MPs backing.
Top Gun Maverick is crossing the $600 million threshold at the domestic box office. With global sales added in, the film has brought in over $1.1 billion. This makes it the first movie to pass $1 billion in sales this year and the second ever in the pandemic era behind Spider-Man No Way Home. Maverick is now the 12th highest grossing film ever at the domestic box office. It's now Paramount Pictures' highest grossing domestic film in the company's history, surpassing Titanic. You're listening to the latest on NBC News Radio.
Man, I slept.
New ZzzQuil Pure Z's Restorative Herbal Sleep is made for people who are tired of being tired.
I've never slept like this before. I've never woken up like this before.
A melatonin-free sleep aid made with a botanical blend that contains clinically studied and effective valerian root, hops, and passionflower, shown to help promote better restorative sleep. ZzzQuil Pure Z's Restorative Herbal Sleep. Sleep this good. Feel this good. Available at retailers near you.
And let's go ahead and take a look now at your alternative talk weather outlook for Wednesday. Well, we'll see some clouds this morning, but don't worry, they'll burn off by this afternoon. For most of sunny skies yet again, high temperatures around 74, 75 degrees, a little cooler than yesterday, but still a pretty decent day. Tonight, mostly clear skies, lows back down about 56. For Thursday, Friday, and running up into the weekend, more sunshine expected, high temperatures on the rise, about 5 degrees in the upper 70s, with clear skies through the overnight, low temperatures in the upper 50s.
Do you make a positive difference in the world? Do you have a talent, philosophy, base of knowledge, product or service that you know could help a lot of people if only you could reach them? Join Alternative Talk 1150's family of broadcasters and start walking down a fruitful path. As host of your very own program, dial 425-653-1150 and find out just how affordable it can be to have a show on 1150 AM. That's 425-653-1150. Alternative Talk, we have an opportunity waiting just for you.
The views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. This program is sponsored by Dr. Pat Basile and Transformation Talk Radio.
Welcome, everybody, to Soul-Inspired Reflection, Ascension, a Humble Awakening of the Heart, with me, your host, Gina Libido. The soul can take on many expressions that bring you into harmony and resonance with your higher self. Feel an aura of love that will envelope you and infuse your being. You'll find that even the chaos of your world makes sense and has meaning and purpose. Your dreams are so powerful, and as you become more sensitive to them, you can learn how to identify new energies and how they are communicating with you in body, in power, in soul. Activate the spirit within you in this conversation of power, faith, grace, love, and forgiveness. Make a choice. Be inspired and take action. Soul-Inspired Reflection starts now.
Wow. Hey, everybody. Welcome. It's so great to have all of you tune us in and turn us on. We have a great, great show. And what I love about this is I was taking a look at what Gina has put together. And for those of you out there, you just heard her voice. And one of the things I love that I get to hang out and really step into the energy of something very powerful and also very needed, very needed. You know, for those of you that know who Gina is, what I'm about to say, you're going to be like, oh, of course, that's her. That's who she is. You know, and what I mean by that is when you are somebody that has been soul inspired, then what happens is you're that person that has to pass that knowledge forward. And so when you're soul inspired, you also have this idea of soul inspired reflections. You have this idea of your life. And, you know, for Gina, stepping out and knowing that she works with body mind, she does body work. She's a coach. She does workshops, an advanced crystal healer, self-mastery, certified body worker. But more than that, I could go on with all the things she has learned and all the places she has studied, including Diamond Light School of Massage Healing Arts. But here's the thing I want you to know. Self-mastery without knowledge transfer is an energy that stays stuck. And what she's doing is she's stepping out into the world and she's helping us all realize that every soul has a unique sound and purpose, and it's waiting for us to be discovered. Today's episode, in particular, when I think about what we're doing, here's the question. Are you living or are you just surviving? Gina, right?
Yes.
Who wants to answer that question?
It's a big question. It really is. And as I sat to prepare for this segment, that's just what came through. And I do my best not to block what comes through or second guess it. And it just felt right. And it's a very, I think, challenging question to answer, let alone recognize when you are living in a way that's more survival mode versus actually living and enjoying life and expanding and growing.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, what I love about this is, you know, in the conversation, and this is what you're going to be talking about, is in the conversation, you know, there is a way for many of us to understand what it means to face challenges in life. If we can only wrap our minds and our hearts around the fact that sometimes we get these challenges that show up, that lead us on a pathway we wouldn't have gone without them, only to shortcut our journey to where we really want to go. But if we can't realize all of that, then where we go is what? What does the body do? If we can't wrap our minds around trusting the universe in that way, there's an automatic response, isn't it? Tell us about what the body does.
Yeah. So the body, we're designed to survive and move away from danger or recognize it, right? So when we're perceiving danger coming at us, our body will naturally go into what we know as fight, flight, and freeze. And what happens in the brain, like the amygdala gets signaled because it's our fear perception or perception of fear. And then that goes through the hypothalamus, which triggers our autonomic nervous system. And so we have the sympathetic nervous system and the parasympathetic nervous systems that can get activated. So the sympathetic is the one that drives our fight and flight. And the parasympathetic will drive our freeze mechanism. So one of those two systems will dominate, right? So I don't know about you, but I know how I respond to, it's also like a stress piece, right? There are times when I freeze and be like, oh my God, I can't move. So no action being taken. I'm stuck in that parasympathetic. Then there are other times when I fight, or I'm getting ready to like defend or look for exits, right? So what also happens, our hormones get triggered. People refer to them as our stress hormones, our cortisol, adrenaline gets dumped into our system. And then our body goes into like this hyper-focus, right? Our ears get hyper-focused on sounds around us. Our heart rate increases to get more blood flow and oxygen into the body in case we have to fight or flee. You know, the adrenaline supports our pain perception, so we're not going to feel pain if we get into altercation, right?
Right.
And as well with the blood and the heart rate, it prepares us in case we have injury for blood clotting, right? So all these things that are really innate and this is how we're designed happen, and probably so much more, right? Our eyes dilate, our skin can become sweaty and cold. Some people can actually lose or eliminate, right, through their, you know, urine or defecate because they're releasing to go be what they don't need so they can survive at the time.
But one of the things I love about this is that when we're talking about them, we can be acutely aware of when we're getting ready to do it. I want to give you an example because I want to talk to this because there are things that we do where we don't realize we're doing them and we don't realize they fit into the categories that you just mentioned. And let's have a couple of examples. Can't break the habit coming home from work and turning that TV on. Hello. Can't break that habit. You know, you got your stair stepper in the other room. It just I gotta relax, right? And I'm not saying that that's a bad thing. I'm just saying that if we're not aware of what we're doing and why we're doing it, than that idea of being stuck in, what do you call it, that shock pattern is very, very difficult to undo, because now we're creating a flight pattern.
Mm-hmm.
And don't you think, too, also this idea of fight, flight, and freeze, you know, we know it. We know when we are immobile, but we just don't know what to call it. If we don't know what to call it, how do we know what to do with it, Gina?
That's a really great question. If we don't know what to call it and we don't know what to do with it, I think one of the biggest pieces you mentioned is that awareness of what we're doing, right? Many people probably refer now to it, like, I come home, put on the TV. You know, I used to be in a first responder field, as you know, in law enforcement. There's constant stress, constant, whether you're in the office or out in the field, it doesn't matter your role, it's constant stress. Some people may refer to escapism, right? The TV is a way to escape and numb out, right? In certain types of fields like this, or even emergency rooms, things, people turn to drinking.
Yeah.
They turn to extramarital affairs.
Eating.
Eating. I am a big emotional eater, but I'm listening to the dogs. Hopefully I don't get
crazy
today.
They're just chiming in and say, we are too.
He did. Yeah, he looks up and he actually is chewing his little bully stick and he's like, brr. So yeah, emotional eating, right? And soothing, right? It feels comfort. Like, I know for me, I go to my comfort foods. It could be the sugar. It could be the, you know, cheeseburgers, the potato eat, like heavier foods.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But it's not resolving the issue that I'm running away from, right?
Yeah.
Or even if I just had a tough day, right?
Yeah.
And so for me, it's becoming aware, like, okay, that's my response to stress, is that I will emotionally eat, thinking like, oh, I'm going to give myself a treat. I'm doing that every single day.
Yeah.
I have to pay attention. What is driving that choice?
Yeah. Yeah, you know. Because let's get to really how this is related, because one of the things you talk about so beautifully is this is a cycle, and the cycle that we're talking about here, and the question, all you, I wonder you out there, give us a call, 1-800-930-2819. I would like to hear from you. I mean, do you feel like you're just going through the motions or surviving? Or are you living? Are you living life? Now, the other part of this Gina talked about is surviving and thriving. But I will say that there are midpoints along that continuum. But mm-hmm. you know when you're just surviving. You can feel it. You can feel the energy. So can you talk about how our past programming, you know, affects whether we're in the living or the survival mode?
Well, that's a great question. Our past programming affects being in our living versus surviving, right? Like, so all of us come from a family of some kind, right?
Yeah,
we're born into a family, or you're adopted into one. It could look different for everybody. However, you develop your tribe, right? And that programming, even before you're born, which people don't recognize often, and, you know, and we are cellular beings, right? So our body, our being is being programmed from the very beginning. So whatever your parents are going through, your father and your mother, or whoever's around the development of that child is impacting the imprinting. So your conversations about money, if the people are under high stress or anxiety, or it's preparing that being for their external world, right? So it's recognizing we go through multiple stages in between worlds, into the human body, in from the womb, into the physical world on the planet as the way we know it. And we're being prepared to operate in that way. So now, as a child outside of the womb, that whole other programming starts, right? I just listened to or read a blog by Peggy Wilms. She talked about money.
Yeah.
Right? All the programming that went along with her perceptions about money.
Yeah.
And saving. And it can look and take on different forms. And so subtly, but that goes with us through our adulthood until we recognize, I got to change my relationship to money. And where we're at today with what we're talking about, focuses on the sacral chakra too, and our lower chakras primarily, as this conversation has been. And money is one of those. It's our power. It represents power, yeah. Right? Our sacral chakra is also very emotional, and it's about our relationships,
yeah.
Right? So that's an example of a patterning. Like if I have parents that are constantly worried and living in lack, even though they have resources, but the energetic imprint, verbally, the thoughts, that's being programmed in me that I don't have enough. I can't yeah. spend money. I have to wait for payday. Is how her article went, right? Oh, it's not payday yet. We have to wait.
So it's a huge awakening.
Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah, her article is amazing. You and I both know Peggy. I've worked with Peggy for a while. And, you know, one of the things that I want to talk about when we come back from break is this idea. And, you know, I want to say this to all y'all out there that are entrepreneurs, and I'm not going to say it's just women, but I work primarily with women. I want to say this. What we're about to talk about, and especially because, Gina, you brought up money, what we're about to talk about when we come back is how you get shaken out of your comfort zone. And what Gina's going to do is she's going to talk about what this means. Because the ultimate goal here is to really rise up. This is what Gina helps mm-hmm. people with, you know, this place of ascension. But if you're in a comfort zone, and it might be comfortable, but you know on the inside it's really not. You know that temporarily it feels comfortable, but it's really not. When we come back from break, shaking it up. That stepmom was so good at the shake and bake of you getting out of your comfort zone. Oh, when we come back, are you still playing the pandemic symphony? Let's take a short break. We'll be right back with Gina Livia. You're broken down that entire living life on the merry-go-round, and you can't find a
Tune into the Life Strategy Show with your Life Strategy mentor, Lolita Smith, and say yes to bringing prosperity and success to your future right here and right now. Life is a picture of your mind, and Lolita is here to help you imagine it. Say goodbye to the strings of the past that have been holding you back for far too long. Rise up with Lolita and say yes to the solutions, prosperity, and unlimited possibility. Visit LifeStrategyMentor.com. That's LifeStrategyMentor.com.
Boy, does this feel like good times today. It's so great to have all of you tune us in and turn us on. I love it. This is a show that's going to invite all of you to open up your heart, because it's about dreams coming true. There's a road we get to take as we craft out and we lay a course that's in service of so many others. Sometimes the universe, God, whatever you believe in, have you ever wondered why, but better than why, or how the universe knows how to line things up in a way that gets you ready for the most expansive part of who you're going to become? This is the time to change. And gratitude, leading with love, opens up more expansive possibilities than you can imagine. Crust busting your way to an awesome life. I want to thank you all for tuning us in, turning us on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Are you ready to get big and live your life out loud? Tune in to Get Big Out Loud Radio, exploring life through the lens of curiosity and compassion. With me, Carrie Knudsen, joining Dr. Pat live every second Monday at 10 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. I will offer ideas to transform what you are thinking into conscious action. If you want to get big and live your life out loud, visit me at KnudsenSpeaks.com.
Do you find that your world is filled with chaos that's always trying to bring you down? What if I told you that your goal should not be to get rid of that chaos, but to harness it and become your higher self with it? I'm Gina Libido, your transformational coach, and I'm here to guide you on your ascension journey and soul awakening. Learn to anchor cosmic Christ light during my one-on-one and group sessions. To find out more, go to soulinspired.org. That's soul-inspired.org. And be embodied, in power, and in soul.
Tune in to Knowledge Book Radio with host Marge Potasek the fourth Tuesday each month at 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Through many experiences, Marge was led to the Knowledge Book, a gift to humanity in its transition to the golden age that provides truth and answers. She now shares information from the Knowledge Book with you monthly on TransformationTalkRadio.com on Knowledge Book Radio. For more information, visit usa.theknowledgebook.com. Net. Yeah, boy, say it. Come on, say it. Hey, everybody, welcome back. I'm Dr. Pat, and I get to do this fabulous show with the host of the show, Soul Inspired Reflections with Gina Libido, Ascension. A humble awakening of the heart. Today, we're taking on the question, are you living or surviving? I bet, you know, part of that question is, do we even know the difference? That's actually what we're talking about today. We're going to get ready to talk about what is shaking you out of your comfort zone look like. But before we do with that, Gina, what is the best way for people to connect with you, work with you, or find out more about you?
Yeah, thank you. The best way to get a hold of me is go to my website at soulinspiredreflections.com. You can go ahead and contact me directly through an email, and you can also sign up and subscribe to stay informed on any latest blogs or workshops that I may have coming up. And you'll also receive in that, when you subscribe, you'll receive a free teaching and chakra meditation clearing with that.
So talk about this idea of shaken and what this means, shaken. I think if you ask 10 people, they would have their own personal experiences and way to describe it. But I know in my life, for me to move forward in the way that my soul has really wanted me to move forward, it has come kicking and screaming. I had to have blunt, major, unpredictable shaking up in my life. And I find that for me, it's because I'm taking longer than my soul really wanted me to take. And so there's a point, I think, by which you get an opportunity to change it up. And I think that opportunity that we talk about to change it up is what you're going to take us through today. You know, isn't being shaken up out of your comfort zone, isn't that a requirement of ascension?
Being shaken up out of your comfort zone and getting comfortable in the unknown. Yes. Yeah. Because what happens when any of us get comfortable in the day-to-day, we begin to just go through the motions and it creates a false sense of security, a false sense of safety, right? And so in current events, right, even backtracking a little bit, many of us were accustomed, a whole nother generation, that we're going to work, we're going to put into pensions, we're going to retire happy, right?
Yeah.
And now there's that whole piece with this world being shooken up in the way that it's been through the pandemic is one way. People leaving their jobs abruptly, can't go into work. Even the workforce and corporations realizing, oh, wait, people, we can't control them anymore. They know and have a taste of what it is to work from home, work in a different structure. People were reminded about their values, right? So many parents I came across on my walks during the initial shelter in place. I forgot that I love spending time with my kids, right? And that I forgot how much time and energy it took to take them from one event to the other. Yeah. And they go on top of their own stuff. And they realized, gosh, we were having dinner at the table. We're having dinner at the table. And then even for myself and other colleagues at the time, it's like, wow, we got to decompress and just be in the office part of the time, depending on our role,
yeah,
and be home part of the time. Like these hybrid models started, right? So when we get shaken out of your comfort zone, out of our normal day-to-day, we realize like, oh, there's a different way to live.
Yeah.
There's a new perspective. Right. And for all of, like, you're talking about your soul, right? You were talking about my soul couldn't continue going this way. And I know for me, when I start to listen to my body, and this is how important it is for all of us to learn to listen to our body, because people had a chance to start listening to their bodies because they were home and had to spend time with themselves. A lot of people crying, things like that. When I was on my way to work, the stress was so high and different things were occurring. I'm getting those heart palpitations, and that's when I knew I was done.
Yeah.
I knew for a while, like, okay, I got to leave this field. But when my body was like, no, we're shutting down, I was put in a position, I have to listen now. Like, it was no more ignoring that intuition of the body, the wisdom of it.
You know, I love what we're talking about, because I want you to really address this thing, because this is what I know. You are, you know, premier body worker. But one of the things that we leave out of the equation is the brain. And I want to talk about this for a minute, because part of what you discuss is ascension and activation.
Yeah.
And a lot of times we think, or we are under the impression, when we're talking about ascension and activation, it's only one part of the brain. But let's talk about what you mean by activation of both sides of the brain, and why is that important?
Oh, yeah. So why is that important? Because we are collectively, when the soul is ready, are balancing our masculine and feminine energies within our energetic system. And when I refer to our energetic system, primarily right now I'm referring to our chakra system. But we do have energetic fields around us. But specifically with our masculine and feminine energies, those are also depicted within the hemispheres of the brain. So our right side is feminine. Our left hemisphere is logical. That's more masculine energy. While we need both, with this heart opening and heart activation that it's occurring, it's extremely creative, and so we're activating that side of the brain to come into harmony. We're coming back into balance with those masculine and feminine energies so that we're no longer dominated in this old patriarch way.
Yeah.
So it connects all these pieces together, and so when someone's becoming more creative, I can only speak to my experience with how it shows up for me. This is one of them. This is one of them, stepping way out of my comfort zone. I'm going to create a radio show and talk about this stuff.
Right.
What does that trigger me? Fear. Right? It's just fear, but then it's also something new. It can come across as anxiety, but as well as excitement. Right? So it's learning the difference. Like, even though these things within our body, it's getting activated, which way, I have a choice on how I want to show up in it.
That's
do
right.
I want to be nervous about the show, or do I want to step further into the excitement of it and recognize once the camera's rolling, it all just flows?
Yeah.
It all just flows.
Isn't that the trick, though? And, you know, it really gets to something I want to talk to you about when we come back from break. Because, you know, this is an integral part, I think, of the message of our time right now. Mm-hmm. And that is, you know, what do we learn about trust? What do we learn about our relationship to trust? And also, what do we learn from our body? You know, when our body is telling us something, you know, are we going to do that thing where instead of looking at facing it, living it, are we going to do what Gina talked about earlier? Are we going to fight? Are we going to flight? Are we going to freeze? What are we going to do? Now, this is not to be confused, fight, flight, or this is not to be confused with being passionate about something in your life and taking action on it. That's not what we mean when we talk about fight. There's something different in that, a different energy. And sometimes these three things are not that bad. Sometimes you do have to hit the pause button. But today's show with Gina is, do you know when you're doing it? Are you doing it consciously? Do you know why you're doing it? Or have you developed a pattern that's just going to keep you in a place where you think you're safe, but things are just not moving? When we come back, Gina's going to walk us through what the Earth School of Duality and Polarity is all about. Duality and polarity. It is a multi-billion-dollar business to have conversations about this. But today,
Do you know what you're experiencing? And is there anything you should know to do about it? We're going to take a short break. When we come back, more with Gina Libido. If you want to follow in more about her, go to soulinspiredreflections.com. There's a lot of information there. Connect with her on Instagram, Facebook. And if you have a question for her today, if you're in one of those modes, like you don't know, I may be in it, I may not, 1-800-930-2819. Give us a shout. Hey, Benny, let's take a short break. We'll be right back.
Are you ready to experience full body system wellness? Tune in to the Empower Me Show with Pam Bright, a spiritual toolbox for your life. Embrace the fullness of who you are as a spiritual being, having a human experience. Pam Bright is a multidimensional healer, light language channel, energy intuitive, and spiritual transformation coach. Join her for a rich conversation about how to unlock all your spiritual gifts on Transformation Talk Radio.
In body, in power, in soul. Activate the spirit within you in deep conversations of power, faith, grace, love, and forgiveness. On Soul Inspired Reflections, Ascension, a humble awakening of the heart. Join me, your host, Gina Libido, every second Wednesday at 10 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. And find that even the chaos of your world makes sense and has meaning and purpose. Make a choice, be inspired, take action. For more information, go to soulinspired.org. That's soul-inspired.org.
It is time to get inspired to take action in your life. Tune in to Emotional Elevation with me, Susan Denae. We are identifying, understanding, and treating our crazy one episode at a time. We all have crazy in our lives. The thing that sets us apart is how we deal with it. And I've got you covered. Enjoy your journey. You are worth it. Visit SusanDenae.com. That's DENEE.com.
Hi, everyone. I'm Dr. Pat. I'm the host of the Dr. Pat Show, and I am the creator of the Transformation Network, doing what we do in the world of positive radio, informed, educated, positive media. Independent radio hosts and independent networks have been the face of positive messaging over the past decade. So all of us here have decided we're going to put together an independent network that is going to enable people to bring their positive message of hope, inspiration, and conscious action to the forefront. Help us create a future of amazing, uplifting stories that can be told so we can tell our children and they can tell their children of what hope and conscious action is all about. I want to thank you all for tuning us in, turning us on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Sometimes being human has its challenges. Our physical health falters, our spirits sag, our dreams don't immediately come to fruition. Welcome to the power of Maximum Medicine Radio. Join me, Doc Martin, in conversations that will blow your mind about healing. In our hit show, Doc Martin addresses the scientific with bridging to the mystical approaches to give you a new narrative about Maximum Medicine. In this live call-in show, we will journey into the extraordinary genius of the human body and talk about other beliefs that impact being your multidimensional self. We seek the seen and the unseen and explore the earthbound and the otherworldly, all with the purpose of calling forth the maximum you. To learn more about Doc Martin and Maximum Medicine, visit www.SharonMartinMD.com.
Gina, we're back, right?
We are.
We're back. Look, let's remind people a little bit about some of the things you do, how they can subscribe, what they'll get. Let's talk about some of the coaching work, and then we're going to talk about this, like, Earth School.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah, again, you can get a hold of me at my website at soulinspiredreflections.com. Feel free to shoot me an email through the contact, but if you go ahead and subscribe to... subscribe to the website, you will receive a free teaching and guided meditation to clear your chakra system. And the way I work with clients are one-on-one as well in groups to create and build their foundations. And my whole focus is to support you become more in your body, in your power, and in your soul. But what that requires is also to build a new foundation in how you relate to yourself and the world around you. So I bring in like ceremony, ritual, nature connection, and this can be done in person or even through Zoom. Surprising, some people don't realize like, yeah, we can do nature connection through Zoom. It can be really simple. And so I teach you and we work together and create your own teaching together, and I guide you through that process.
Yeah. And, you know, part of this is all in the context of what we're talking about today. Mm-hmm. I mean, we know when we're hitting the button on the survival mode, we know it, we may not want to face it, but we just know. We know we're not our happiest, and we go through moments of it. I'm human. I go through it myself. You know, I have days where I ask myself, how do I feel about who I am in the world and what I'm doing in the world? How do I feel about that? How do I feel with my progress on that? And what's fascinating about it is it never entertained my mind when I went back to school. Now, clearly, I thought I'd be, you know, in and done in 3 years, and I would have been. But going back to school never entered my mind. I never did anything but stay in the present. And I was able to work while I went back to school, commute to California. So what was it about that experience, which now that I look back, it was not like the easiest thing I've ever done. I mean, I'm not the greatest student. But what was it about that that felt like living, felt like thriving? And what is it that's showing up now for people that is getting in the way of that, Gina? What's showing up now for people, right? Because here we are now. We got this Earth school going on.
Yeah. Yeah, we do. Earth school. And I feel the more I remember that, like, hey, I'm here to learn lessons and use Earth, and Earth works through me as well. For me, it becomes more fun and exciting. But I think you pose a really great question. Like, what is it about us or you when you're thriving in life, or there's that excitement in living versus surviving? And I think that age component is really important at different stages in our life, right? So as I'm going to bring it back into more of the sacral chakra a little bit, because we're talking about relationships. And one of these big aspects to this too is how we relate to each other, and even in our romantic relationships, and moving through this illusion of duality, right? Because that is a separateness. But I saw it down as I was preparing for today. I'm just like, oh, wow. In my 20s, I was more about the physical desire, right? And many of us go through that. We're like, we want to explore our bodies. It feels good. But then there's other times as I've evolved, like say in my 30s, and there's loss of a parent and things like that. And then it turned into this other, like, feeding like emotions, right? I wanted to be cared for and tended to. I didn't want to feel the emotions. So what did I turn to? Sexual relations, because it feels good, right? But it's temporary, no different than emotional eating. But I bring this up because it's so important to recognize that our relationships and the way we interact with them, and it's not just sexual relationships. Now we're evolving on how do we transcend that way of being and move into more of that unity within the self. The self-reflection occurs, recognizing like, I can live here and I can enjoy this person in such a vast way that I did when I was younger. It's just not being driven by a physical desire. It becomes this, as yoga means unity, right? So it's the samadhi, as it's referred, this to this overcoming separateness. And so when we recognize that we're in the world of duality and polarities, we're becoming aware that, oh, wait, I've been operating separate from what I truly am and from life itself. So when you realize that, people start to go into like, hey, I want to collaborate. I want to be in unity with people, right? I want to be in unity with myself, and that leads toward oneness, which we're all of life are a part of.
Yeah.
It's in experiencing life with my whole being. And those that study like Zen teachings, it's the whole being. And how are you relating and associating to the world around you, nature around you?
Yeah.
And so it's really powerful.
And haven't we been hungry for that? I mean, you know, we're kind of talking about this in the moment that we are now. And we're looking at this in duality and polarity and, you know, recognizing where we are. And I think we've never been at a place really, at least in my lifetime, where there's been so much of light and dark. There's been so much of shadow and light. There's been so much of, you know, conversations about light or higher perspective. And not just in individuals, but how we are processing what's going on in the world around us. I have a friend who is an attorney, and he's a pretty dang good one. And so he is, he is the one that he doesn't go through a day without staying on top of what's going on with the January 6th hearing. And it's always interesting to me because I don't have the time to sit in front of him. So I will always get a little message or an update, you know, on how he sees his world. And I may not see my world that way. I may see, you know, something positive out of the whole thing.
Yeah.
This is what makes us human beings. But don't we have to recognize when we're in the light and when we're in the shadow? Because being in the shadow really too long, and you can be in the shadow too long, that is like a showstopper for me. I don't know about you.
Oh, yeah. Being in that shadow, well, there's purpose to that shadow and dark in the piece where we're seeing these breakdowns. We're being that shaken awake, right, where those relationships and the way all of us have been programmed to operate, I'll say, is rising to the surface and recognizing, like, we'll take it to the U.S., right? We're not united. We say United States. That's how we're described, United States, liberty, right? And we're working toward freedom, right? So I feel that's an important piece that as a country, it is also going through its own ascension, healing its wounds. Emotions are at the surface, right? That woman, the body, that divine feminine energy looks like and appears like it's being attacked, right? So all these shadow pieces coming up for us to look at, like, sparks these Me Too movements, Black Lives Matter, because deep down, in my opinion or perspective, our souls are like, we want to heal. We want to set ourselves free. So if we stay in the shadow of our experiences in the emotional pieces and don't learn how to reconcile and find unity within and healing deeper within, those deeper wounds or those wounds will limit anybody from setting themselves free.
Yeah. You know, this is one of these conversations that we have to remind ourselves what we're talking about and why we're talking about it. And what we're talking about and why we're talking about it is asking the question, are we living or surviving? A lot of people say, are you thriving or surviving? And, you know, sometimes when you say the word thriving, what that means for people, that is an expectation that a lot of people feel that there's unrealistic for them to get at. So I love that we're talking about living or surviving, because one of the things that we're going to talk about now, and I think we'll go ahead and skip the break because I want to make sure we get this in, is that, you know, what is the relationship of truth, unearthing truth, and what happens when we cast light on our shadows? Because this goes back to the earlier conversation we had at the beginning, right, where we were talking about you have to realize where you are. Do you even know if you're in that surviving mode? Do you be, and I'm not just talking, Gina, and I just want to be clear for people. I'm not just talking about the fact that you may be somebody that goes from job to job. You're working three or four jobs, because I have a couple of friends. They are working three or four jobs. And actually, they point to me. They're like, you're like working all the time. And I have a couple friends that see that as, man, she's like just surviving. And then I have other friends that look at it very differently. And so these things we're talking about, you got to figure out what the emotional feeling is. I mean, if you're feeling depressed, you're feeling anxious, if you're feeling dot, 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 that's going to be the parameter. But let's talk about this next part, which you address, you know, so great, beautifully, and that is truth and what truth can do. Because truth can set us free, can it, sometimes, even though I don't always want to hear it.
Absolutely. Being truthful with ourselves, number one, is the hardest thing to do. It's so hard because you're opening yourself up to your own vulnerability. But when you can look at yourself in the mirror and be at the truth and get into your emotions, not be afraid of them, and learn how your body is communicating to you, because everything to me now is energy. It's communicating to me. My body has a purpose. My experience of emotions has purpose, because I am at this place where, as I'm moving more into the soul and living from that soul space, I'm no longer identifying my way of being through that lens in such a tight way, right? But you brought up a good question. How do you know when you're surviving versus thriving or living? And you bring up this emotional piece, right? And I think the important thing is to ignore other people's opinions about your choices, one, right? Mm-hmm. You just gave examples for yourself, like so-and-so says you're surviving, but you have a totally different thing. One, every time I talk to you, you're passionate about what you do. You're living your life from your heart and a higher calling. And that has nothing to do with how much money I have in the bank. When you're living, you're in a, anyone that's living and truly living from the heart and being truthful of their service, they're not holding on in judgment, but they're connected to something higher. They're spiritually aware of themselves in some way, and their heart is open to life. So they're grateful for everything around them, everything. So they're abundant and fulfilled, right? And what that looks like to a witch hall that lives in the mountains in Mexico, and what that looks like to me is going to possibly be different, right?
Yeah.
And for you. However, I feel recognizing our language. Am I saying I need to do this? I have to do this.
Yeah.
Am I doing it for everybody else? Right? Coming back to that old construct of the corporate world. I got to be there 9 to 5. I got to do this. Oh, my boss, that. All those, even those fears of like, oh, I'm going to get in trouble. And the truth is, no, you're not. You know why? Because the power is within you to decide, like, what is the best thing for you, and trusting your intuition. I'm like, hey, I can say I got to leave because I have a doctor's appointment. And that manager can say all they want. But the truth is, nothing really harmful is going to happen to you.
Yeah.
Unless you go down that rabbit hole, right? If someone's going to threaten your job, there's plenty of other ones you can go do or create should it go down that way. However, how someone chooses to navigate those types of situations matter. But when you're in the truth of something, then it doesn't control you. And then you're not trying to control others.
Yeah.
Right.
I think one of the greatest things I learned, and I learned it from my stepmom, you know, my stepmom didn't have a high education. She did ultimately get her GED and then her real estate license, mm-hmm. and then her broker's license and all of that. But when she married my dad, this was a woman that had no high school education. She had her children very, very young. But one of the things she really taught all of us is that we have one freedom in the world and only one. And we got this drilled into us at a very young age, right? Before we could even understand it. She says, we have one freedom. You have the freedom to choose.
Mm-hmm.
And as kids, you don't quite get it. But then she would put it into play. Do you want to get your viola lesson? Or do you want to dot, dot, dot? And, you know, these are the things that when you grow up with that realization and you understand there's so much freedom in it,
mm-hmm.
then it's how do you make those decisions, right?
Yes.
And isn't that what you're talking about? Is we have that power. And the power of being truthful with ourselves in our situation. And you just brought up a good one. I mean, I've worked in corporate America, and clearly the parameters for
you know, crazy town don't exist there where I work. But when I went to work for a firm, and people look at me as a manager and they say, she's tough. She can be tough. I have some very high standards, right? But at the same time, my boss, when I worked for a consulting firm, this guy would pound his fist on the table. He scared a lot of people. Now, I grew up in New York, so I'm used to people pounding their fists on the table. But this guy would come in, and he would just beat the table, like if he didn't, like a temper tantrum. And a lot of people had to leave. So, but you see, we don't think we have that choice, Gina, and that's what I really want you to talk about now, because, you see, wisdom, knowledge, decisions. I had a situation at the office where something happened to one of my staff, and my pit bull came out. I'm like, you got to send me the video footage. What are you saying? What are you? No. And you know, it's like, we need to see the video footage. The police need to see the video footage. And by the way, how about the other cameras? Are you telling me they're not working? And so there's a part of that where that kicks in for me. Right? Yeah. But what is the truth about ourselves? I know I have to work on being a better person every day. I know it. But I also know what's in my heart. How do we get people to really look at the power of being truthful to themselves or with themselves better?
Yeah, that's a really great question. How do we get people to look at the truth of themselves better? And just, I'm sensitive more to the linguistics now than ever. And I know we've talked about that in the past.
I want to say, take a 12-step program. That'll help y'all out.
To get some, first of all, I can never change anyone else's behavior.
Oh,
right?
My gosh, no.
But what I can do is recognize something and being like, okay, how am I going to respond to this situation? Right? Like, I'll give you an example. When I had it on my calendar to go to a family wedding, and this is when I worked in law enforcement, and a lot of things have to do with staffing and all sorts of office stuff, right? And because the nature of the work is 24/7, people put in a lot of their life there in overtime, and certain expectations are placed on you, like you are the job, right? Which is funny because it also be like, well, be mindful of your well-being. But like, yeah, you're not the job. So something happened with staffing, and they were trying to mandatory me in for overtime. And I said, no. And this kind of comes back to the power piece and choice, because it also has to do with your self-esteem and relationship to also authority in a way, right? Now, I'm not saying to create fights or anything and go against authority. When you are in your power and you know internally and in your heart that you're like, no, I'm not. I told them, no, I'm not coming in. I'm not missing this wedding. You guys will find something else. It was already prearranged, and the manager at the time was like, well, it's a direct order. And I just sit there, and I'm like, yeah, I hear you. I understand that. And I didn't get emotional. This is where I was really stepping into working with the activations and claims at this time, too. And being in my will, that power center, the blue flame, which we kind of touched on last time, and I just didn't get emotional. I could feel myself rearing up and being like, because there are times when you got to bring in the bulldog, you know, but it's still the way you do, one does it. And she was leaning over that table, trying to exert that power over me to get me to change my mind. And I just said, you can do whatever you need to do on your end. If that means you have to write me up, go ahead. I am willing to take the consequences of saying no to you.
Yeah, I agree with this. I like this because, you know, if you heard me just describe what happened, that is not the way the text messaging went.
you know, the test messaging was, look, we had an incident here. And there's a camera right out there. We need the video footage. But what I discovered around that was that, and by the way, we did get the footage for that camera. However, what it opened up was a new line of questioning. And whenever you start to really seek the truth and then you find it, other people may get into flight mode. Because then you ask the next question, right? What is the consequence of this? Like, what was the consequence of that? I, too, had a similar situation. But with the camera situation, I'm like, what? You got, like, fake cameras? Like, where? Like, in the back? Like, where it's dark? And when you kind of shine the light on that, watch how many email returns you don't get.
Yeah, because it's bringing those truths to the surface. Right. Yeah. And here, like in this example I'm sharing, was that she was trying to get me to change my behavior, my choice, to, because that's that exertion of will over another person.
Yeah.
And I got to a place of my own self-esteem, moving away from fear, right? Because oftentimes we fear our managers. We fear people that are in a title of authority or they have certain duties, I'll say, right? You know, but that's just a role. That's just a role.
Yeah.
So you know, I stayed in it and said, no, do whatever you need to do on your end. I'm going. And it all worked out and nothing ever happened.
But this is really, this brings us back as we tie it all back right to the show, is if we don't do something like that, then we enter the realm of surviving, and surviving has that energy. Surviving is that thing that really tells us we have no power, that we are victims of a circumstance or a world. And, you know, to bring this back to what you said before, you know, understanding this or learning it, when we step into living, we understand we have the power of our choice. Now,
absolutely,
we may not be able to change the outcome or the behavior, but we can choose. Gina, thank you for today. Yeah. I'd love to know your personal message, what you'd like to leave us with. And again, let people know how they can get a hold of you.
Yeah, I will. I want to also share a quote before my message from Rumi, because it always is so touchy. And the task is not to seek love, but to find all the barriers within yourself you have built against it. And I feel this is kind of also what we're talking about here. But my sentiment today is, the veils of illusion may provide you with a temporary comfort and sense of safety, but it's the truth and knowing and becoming what you truly are that will set you free.
Thank you for listening to Soul Inspired Reflection, Ascension, A Humble Awakening of the Heart, with me, your host, Gina Lobito. Join me again every second Wednesday at 10 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com to continue to activate the spirit within you and trust your inner guidance. Learn about what it means to embody and how you can exist in transcendent service to ascension of life, the planet, and the universe. For more information, go to soulinspired.org. That's soul-inspired.org.
Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. Contests are the responsibility of the host of this program and not KKNW. This is Alternative Talk 1150 AM, KKNW Seattle, and KNUC 98.9 HD3 Seattle.
And good Wednesday to you. Benny Mathers here for a look at your Alternative Talk AM 1150 traffic update for Around the Sound. So far, no major blocking or accidents to report at the moment. We still have slowing those heading into downtown Seattle just after the Boeing Field and the West Seattle Bridge. But good thing it'll break free after those downtown Seattle exits. 405 I-90 merger in Factoria is heavy. Westbound 90 where it meets northbound 405. And those heading eastbound on I-90 is slow around the Bellevue Way exit to the 405. But that's right, stay tuned, because coming up next, after the news and weather, it's Recovery Recharged Radio with your host, Ellen Stewart, the pushy broad from the Bronx. And Mac's message, find worthiness in your world, with special guest, Maggie Burke.
NBC News Radio, I'm Lisa Taylor. With annual inflation up to just over 9%, the Senate Minority Leader is blaming Democrats.
Kentucky Republican Mitch McConnell accused Democrats, especially President Biden and Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer, of not taking the dangers of rising costs seriously. A White House economic advisor is defending President Biden's efforts to lower inflation.
Unacceptably high inflation for American households. That was the president's clear message on this, not just this morning, but throughout this elevated inflation episode.
The 9.1 Consumer Price Index for the 12 months that ended in June is the kind of increase that hasn't been seen since November of 1981. Jared Bernstein credited Biden for his action to release more oil from the Strategic Reserve for falling gas prices since Juneteenth. He said Russia's invasion of Ukraine is causing a surge in food prices, not just in the U.S., but also abroad. With bipartisan support in Congress for Ukraine's sovereignty, he admitted that put necessary pressure on prices at home. Family of victims in the recent Uvalde, Texas, and Highland Park, Illinois mass shootings are protesting in Washington, D.C.
But if my words resonate with even one politician and encourage them to push for change, then I'll be saving so many parents from the devastation that is burying your child.
Kimberly Rubio, the mother of murdered Uvalde student Lexi, gave a speech about her daughter's last day at the March 4th rally. She and others who lost loved ones are demanding more action against gun violence from Congress. Organizer Kitty Brantner said the movement is not about taking away Second Amendment rights. Rather, it's about keeping assault weapons out of civilians' hands. Officials at Jalen Walker's funeral in Akron, Ohio, are calling for financial support of Walker's family. They say the family needs help paying for unexpected expenses, including the funeral for Walker's police shooting death. A GoFundMe page for the family has raised over $6,400 of a $16,000 goal. Walker was shot to death by police during an attempted traffic stop last month. You're listening to the latest on NBC News Radio.
It's not easy being the one everyone counts on to keep the facility running, no matter the weather or supply chain hiccups. But we get you, Raymond in Buffalo, and Maria in Miami, Jules in Minneapolis, and Stan in Central Indiana. Taking control of everything that's under your control. At Grainger, we're here for you with experienced branch staff at over 250 locations so you get the product you're looking for. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger. For the ones who get it done.
And let's go ahead and take a look now at your alternative talk weather outlook for Wednesday. Well, we'll see some clouds this morning, but don't worry, they'll burn off by this afternoon to mostly sunny skies yet again. High temperatures around 74, 75 degrees, a little cooler than yesterday, but still a pretty decent day. Tonight, mostly clear skies, lows back down to about 56. For Thursday, Friday, and running up into the weekend, more sunshine expected, high temperatures on the rise. About 5 degrees in the upper 70s with clear skies through the overnight, low temperatures in the upper 50s.
The views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. This program is sponsored by Dr. Pat Basile and Transformation Talk Radio.
Are you ready to put down that drink or drug for good? Are you struggling to maintain your recovery from addictive behaviors? Do you need help with a family member or loved one who's in early recovery or battling addiction? Get the help and guidance you need by arranging a recovery recharge phone session with me, Ellen Stewart, Pushy Broad from the Bronx, certified life and recovery coach. Call 1-800-889-1757. Make an appointment today or go to my website, pushybroadfromthebronx.com, and click on the link that says Recovery Recharged. Don't wait. Get the help you need today. This is Ellen Stewart, Pushy Broad from the Bronx, on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Welcome, Transformation Talk Network listeners. My name is Ellen Stewart, and I am the Pushy Broad from the Bronx. Welcome to my show, Recovery Recharged, with my illustrious co-host, Dr. Pat. How you doing, Doc?
I am in the moment of this show because, you know, when you work in the arena that we work in, and I think about my mom, and you're at this place where you wonder, is there a solution? Because you stand by the sides and the souls of so many people that have tried. I just went through this recently with someone. And what you realize is there are heroes in this journey. And that's what you're shining a light on today, aren't you, Ellen?
Absolutely. There's no question. You know, we've spent close to 3 years together, you and I.
Yeah.
And I first brought a recovery program to TTN, and I'm thrilled about it. I was thrilled that you gave me the go-ahead, the green light to do it. And during this time, as you know, we have brought many experts to the table,
yeah.
many clinicians, many people who are experts in the industry who help us get the help that we need and have given us the facts. But today, we have an even more powerful story, I believe, because we have a personal story
yeah.
That is riddled with heartache and redemption as well. And I am just absolutely humbled and honored, and I know you are as well, to receive this guest today and her powerful story. So let me tell you a little bit about Maggie Burke. Maggie is a loving mother of three. She is a dedicated neonatal intensive care unit nurse. She is also an Ironman triathlete, that's unbelievable to me, and a fierce advocate for addiction and mental health awareness. She's happily married to her best friend of 27 years, and Maggie and her husband reside in the western suburbs of Chicago. It is our privilege today to bring to the table on Recovery Recharged our guest, Maggie Burke. How are you this morning?
I'm good. Thank you. Good to be here.
We're very glad to see you. I want to start right from the top. I want you to tell us what happened on the night of June 18th, 2020.
Yeah. You know, our lives changed forever that day. Our worst fears became our reality. Watching a loved one struggle through mental health and addiction issues, you wake up every morning with an elephant full of fear on your chest. And you hope to God you don't get that call or someone's at your door. And someone was at our door June 18th. Two police officers came to our house to tell us Cormac was found dead in an abandoned little t-ball field. In the suburbs early that morning. I'm usually not lost for words, and I will tell you I shake as I describe this. I can't even put words to sitting through those discussions and those police officers in front of me. What I struggled most with is he died alone. And so much love, so many resources, and no one, no matter what their choices are, deserve to die like that.
Tell us about your son. How old was he, and what were his current struggles leading up to that point?
He was 22. He had just turned 22 in April. Cormac was very complex emotionally. He had a lot of emotional struggles through anxiety, depression. He was a victim of an assault, a very violent sexual assault at 14 years of age, which profoundly affected him moving forward. And he turned to drugs to self-medicate. And he struggled on so many levels through the anxiety, depression, self-image, shame, PTSD. You never knew what was the driving force, you know, at different times in his journey. He was a true fighter.
It's such a difficult situation. And Dr. Pat, you mentioned yeah. in the beginning that it was the same situation for you and your mom. Do you see some parallels here?
I'm seeing it left and right. I mean, I look at how unaware we all are on, and clearly we have more studies, more statistics, more surveys, more international surveys that come out, and they talk about the happiest people in the world and then the not so happiest people in the world. So you have to ask yourself this question. Why are we studying this? Why are there so many surveys? Well, because we know. We know there are issues going. We know this. We don't need a mass shooting to know that there's something going on that we have not addressed, especially in our youth. And you know, it's not like we haven't been awakened to it over time, but no one should have to experience, Maggie, what you just experienced. And now you're in search. You're in search. You're in action. You're You're in warrior mode. You're in, we need to know something. We need to do something. You know, we need to understand the purpose for our pain. Because I do believe that. I think the purpose for the pain of losing my mom, and then just burying all the rest of my family, drug, alcohol, oh my gosh. I mean, but for what? What am I going to do with it? Isn't that why we're having this chat today? Because this is really a call to action, Maggie, isn't it? And you're really setting the stage for that.
Yes, I think giving a face to this crisis, this freckled ginger little lad of mine is the face of this crisis. This family is the face of this crisis. And the sooner we continue to have these dialogues and give a story and a background, we are, you know, I refuse to let it be a statistic.
Thank you.
I think people need to see in reality what this looks like and that no one is immune to this. And there's so much work to be done. There's so many messages to unpack in Cormac's, you know, journey. Good, hope, pain, suffering, I mean, they're all there. And I still cling to hope. I am a firm advocate of hope and the worthiness to get better and that people deserve peace and happiness and the chance to obtain that, you know, and that's part of the, you know, finding good in the pain.
I mean, go ahead. Ellen, I want to ask you this question, too, because you spend a large part of your life every day, actually, looking in the eyes of other people, looking deep in the souls of other people. And, you know, gosh, I had a comment made the other day in passing to me, and I had to do all I could do to bite my tongue. I had to just, I wanted to say, wait a minute, folks. People are struggling. We're talking about an illness, whether it's mental, whether it's alcohol, whether it's drugs. We're talking about people. They didn't sign up in life for this. They are trying the best they can. But I think what today is about for you, Ellen, and the question is, you're in it every day. Maggie, you're in it every day. I want us to understand there is hope, but we also have to face it. We have to acknowledge it. We have to not put our heads in the sand and say, oh, it's all good.
Exactly right. Yes, you're exactly right. And being in it every day, the biggest lesson that I have seen and also what Maggie is trying to say is it comes from everywhere. My clients represent all races, colors, creeds, sexual denominations, genders, walks of life, religious belief, economic beliefs. It touches everyone. It's a pandemic, is exactly what it is. And it spreads everywhere. And it's not restricted to the poor, and it's not restricted to the rich, and it's not restricted to people in ghettos or people in condos and high-rises and penthouse apartments. We are looking at how it's affected everyone. And because we are talking more about it, and because we do shows like this, and because you, Dr. Pat, are so open in what you say and the airtime that you give us to do this, people are not hiding anymore, and the discussion is more out in the open.
Yeah.
And someone as brave as Maggie is saying, yes, this happened to my son. I want the world to know that he was a real human being with feelings and honesty and with a real message. And now, Maggie, you've taken that message and you've taken Cormac's message and you've made an acronym out of it, MAC, M-A-C. And I want you to
I love acronyms, by the way.
Isn't that wonderful? Tell us what M-A-C, MAC, stands for, please.
So the message of MAC, M standing for meaningful, finding meaning in your life. And I think Cormac was easily overwhelmed at looking at a bigger picture sometimes instead of looking at the little silent meanings of and purposeful movements in his life and appreciating those. I think affirmation, which is hard for all of us, Sometimes you're not in a place to affirm yourself. And it's, these are building blocks you have to learn or to be able to affirm that, take someone affirming you and receive that. And the third, the C is for compassion. This young man had a huge heart, tons of compassion. He could read the vulnerability in the room, and commitment to yourself. I think the biggest message of the message of Matt is you are worthy. You are worthy of this fight. I don't care how many times you fall and you get back up, you're worthy of peace and happiness, and the road to it. And finding that worthiness in your world is the message I'm trying to give, really.
Meaningful affirmation, compassion, and commitment. Those are very powerful words. Dr. Pat, we try to live that every day, don't we, in recovery?
I got to tell you, I am so glad you brought it up, and you brought it up in the way you have, because it's one of the most misunderstood aspects of this. My mom, who took her own life, in the language we use in the esoteric realm is she was an empath. I'm an empath. People don't believe that I'm an empath. But I am. I could read the energy in a room in a hot minute. And learning what to do with the energy in the room. You have an unhappy client. You have an unhappy relative. You know, somebody cuts you off. I mean, I play a sport. I play a sport, and one of my partners in this upcoming championship, every point that he misses, it's like a big thing. And I'm going to talk to him today. I'm going to be like, dude, it's not cancer. We're not going to die from the ball. But, you see, we learn that because we the three of us are here for a reason. This has not been an easy road for me. I am not perfect. You know, you may call me Dr. Pat, but I'm telling you, every day of my life, I strive to understanding the psyche of depression and anxiety that stemmed in my family, and that the women I work with, and my goodness, the hardest thing I've done recently, Maggie, is this. And this is what's important for the message. We have to recognize the disease. And I'm not just talking about alcohol and drugs, because there's something underneath, like there was something underneath that for my mom. My dad gave her the prescription, and then she would top it off with alcohol, because why? Just too feisty, too empathic, cared too much, wanted to be a powerful woman, and let's just do it. But Maggie, Ellen, here's the question for you two. We now know between the three of us there are things we can do. And Maggie, isn't that what you're bringing to the table? And how courageous of you to be out talking about it. I want to tell you how important this is to me. I made a decision over the week, and I'll tell you that when we come back from break, Ellen, because I know you want to go to break. I want to tell you, this is so important because of an experience I had with the woman that I mentor. And I just got another hit. And then Maggie, for you today to be on this show, you just reminded me of why I have to do what I have to do, right? Right, Ellen? We have to do more.
Oh, absolutely.
We have
there's
to do
no
more.
Question. Absolutely, there's no question. And Maggie, we want you to give a little bit more background, because we know he's your son, and we certainly know what happened on that day, but we want to have people also understand that it was not, it's important for them to understand that it was not something that was deliberately happening, all right?
Right.
He wasn't looking to take his life, and
right.
I really do think that's important for people to understand.
Yep, it
so
is.
Just, let's just talk about that for a moment, because you're willing to share, and also a little bit about what led up to that situation in your estimation, the kind of things that were going on in his head and what was happening when he accidentally overdosed, which is what you're telling us. Is that
mm-hmm.
correct?
Correct.
All right. So let's talk about that a little more.
I think his last relapse prior to that was probably, I think, six weeks prior. It was very different. He was very angry, and he was somewhat resistive to the resources that were being put in front of him. I felt that relapse very differently than I felt the others. And he went into treatment. And he struggled, I think, to find his path moving forward, and kind of pushing away, just kind of looking for the automatic reset. And I said to him, you can't keep just picking up and resetting. You have to walk this back and process and, you know, move forward with support. And he was pushing away all the support. And I remember Kevin and I looking at each other, and he decided not to go back to a recovery house where he would have gotten the best support and get an apartment on his own. And God love him, I think he thought he's got this, or there's a different way, or, you know, this is a kid who's battled since 14. I mean, when you think 14 to 22, and he keeps perceiving nothing's working for him in his mindset. And I think he looked, you know, he got his apartment on Monday. He was dead on Thursday. I wish I knew where his mind was at. I think it was in a place of tremendous pain. I think he looked to numb his pain, and it was lethal. This was not the first time. His Cormac's relapses were very destructive and lethal. Almost lethal, I should say. So I think, you know, he just was not in a good place, and kind of isolating himself to the help of others, which would have been, you know, so important to him at the time.
You know, the most amazing thing, and the thing that I always glean from this is, and when I see all of my clients, everybody that is suffering from this disease, many, many, many of us come from very caring, loving families and caring, loving parents. And you mentioned you and your husband were acutely aware that something was going on. You were not in the dark. So this is a message to all of the families out there that are aware and that understand that there is something going on, that sometimes these things are beyond our control. Is that right, Maggie?
Yes. I remember Kevin and I having this discussion, and he just kept saying, all this love, all this support. And I said, it's bigger than that. This was bigger than us. We threw everything but the kitchen sink for 9 years. We had periods where he had traction and he was in a good place and he thrived. And then we had periods where he went down a rabbit hole. You know, it was not for lack. This was 9 years of unconditional love for this child. And he knew that. I know he in his heart knew that. Whether he was angry or we were angry, there was always love. And there was always support and resources put towards this.
Well, certainly you have taken this unfortunate event and really pass the message on in ways that are helping others. Mm-hmm. So how does Cormac's journey and his story help for you to break of addiction and mental health? What are you doing in your community to change the message?
I think opening the dialogue, making people aware that, and Cormac, when he was in a good place, he spoke to many groups, and you could hear a pin drop in that when he spoke. He touched so many lives by publicly. Justin, his therapist, had him speaking multiple times at his treatment center. He spoke at his high school, at his college, and I'm picking up. I'm just continuing where he left off in his voice, and that I'm an ordinary person, but I struggle with things. I think bringing it down to such a relatable level, and he wore his vulnerability. And so he was very, people were very attracted and felt comfortable in sharing with him their journeys and their stories. And I think bringing this point of breaking these walls of stigma and shame and fear, I think so much of society is so fear-based. That they can't see the forest between the trees here. And just trying to break down that fear of this, you know, this is a global problem. This is everywhere.
Yes, it
and,
is.
You know, and just those messages. And the worthiness of people. I think that these cycles are so built in shame and secrecy. And we were not, our family was not going to make this a secret. We were very open to people that we were in crisis. Anyone who was important to us or important to Cormac, whether that was school counselors, our kids counselors, their coaches, we are struggling. I had no problem saying that because I can't tell my kid, you know, let go of your secrets if I'm going to hold his biggest struggle as well.
Wow. That's a powerful statement, isn't that, Dr. Pat?
It is. And can I jump in here? Because
yes.
This is me, like, years and years ago, I battled in the arena of that my recovery is in. And I have three different areas of recovery for myself because, come on, my mom had me when she was drinking and using. Like, I popped into this world, and they thought I cried for 4 years because I was colic until my uncle put some kind of Zambuca on my gums, and they said, oh, she's teething. No, you don't teeth at 5 months old, right? So back in the day, we didn't know a lot. We know a lot now. We know so much now that a hit series like Euphoria gets on air. It hits the hearts of so many people. The young people in that film are so engaged in what's going on in the real world, and they're not afraid to address what we call dual diagnosis, triple diagnosis. But we have got to change the institutions of, help me with the language. I'm not even going to talk about the government for a minute because that's a different show. But the institutions of recovery.
Yes.
And I just had an experience with a new place, right? We have got to stop being so closed-minded. Like, who the heck are we to say whether a person can come in to an AA meeting and talk about drugs? Who are we? Like, what? Like, come on, people. It's addiction. But I got to get back to something you said, Maggie. Because, you see, there are those of us that are empaths. Right, Ellen?
Yes.
And we're great listeners. But it's hard sometimes to listen and not take that on. And then it's even harder for us as empaths to open ourselves up and share it. If we can master that, we can help save lives. But you coming on the show and talking about this, and I must say that what you're speaking of, child's journey, is so, and I have to say this, more common than people know. I just had to put a foot down here recently and say, you're not going to live in your apartment. You need to get yourself in a sober house. That is where you're going. And yet, it's only one step, isn't it? There's so much more to this, Maggie, that you're bringing forward. But I will tell you this. I made a decision over the weekend because I did have an experience, and honestly, I thought we were going to lose somebody. When we do our crowdfunding and our expansion in September, I will have a nonprofit in place to completely fund a recovery channel. That is what I'm going to do. We've talked about what are we going to launch, what's the nonprofit. I have got to take this idea of recovery and mental wellness and put something in place because, to be honest with you two, I actually don't know what else to do, and I'm hoping that you two can tell me today. I don't know what else to do but this. You see what I mean? Because it's in my wheelhouse. But Maggie, you know what to tell us to do, don't you? We're going to talk about that, aren't we, Ellen?
We absolutely are, because she has really made great strides in moving forward and really adhering to meaningful affirmation and compassion and commitment, which is really important, and to lift the stigma so that we don't associate this as being a dirty disease or something that's contagious or something that has to be whispered in hush-hush fashion.
I mean,
so when we come back from break, we're going to talk a little bit more about Maggie's wonderful son, and we're also going to talk about how mothers and fathers can take a look at things and really move forward and try to help their loved ones. Okay, let's do that when we come back.
Yeah, let's take a short break. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. And yes, our office is open, and we are doing strictly phone consultations. If you would like to call and get tuned up, it's perfect time with everything that's going on and things aren't calming down. Pick up the phone and give us a call. It's and easy, and it's fun. If you'd like more information on it, you can look at MaryJaneMack.com or call our office at 888-777-4232.
Tune into the Dr. Diane Show, where we explore revolutionary expansion of mind, body, and soul every Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. I bring over 20 years of expertise as a mindset warrior, perspective shifter, and unshakable optimist dedicated to helping you reach your wildest dreams in business, health, performance, and relationships. Join the discussion on the show. Learn more about me, Dr. Diane, and receive a free digital copy of my magazine at naturalnutmeg.com.
There isn't a magic pill to creating your healthy lifestyle, yet it doesn't have to be hard or feel impossible. Health works from the inside out, connecting both your body and your mind. Georgette LePage lives and breathes what she teaches, so allow her to be living proof of what can work for you. Connect with her now for a free 30-minute discovery session to see what results you are looking for and how she can help you get them. Visit GeorgetteLePage.com.
Are you struggling with truly being happy in life? Do you often question who you really are? I'm Tracy Lynn Wallace, a self-love mentor and life coach who can help you identify and access subconscious blocks to move you into a place of freedom, success, and happiness. Visit inspiredwisdomcoaching.com to sign up for my VIP list and get updates on my exclusive workshops so you can awaken your magic within. That's inspiredwisdomcoaching.com.
Tired of not losing the weight? You need a healthy solution for weight loss that protects your muscle mass as the fat burns away naturally. Holistic Medical Center has the healthy option for your weight loss concerns. Lose 1 to 3 pounds per day in 21 days, naturally, under our physician supervision. Call Holistic Medical Center, 425-451-0404. Or on the web, drdarvish.com, drdarvish.com.
Hi there, if you're just joining us, this is Ellen Stewart, the Pushy Broad from the Bronx. It's my show, Recovery Recharged, with my co-host and dear friend, Dr. Pat, and we are talking to Maggie Burke, mother of 22-year-old Cormac, and her story about her son losing his life to a drug overdose. And all of the missions that Maggie is undertaking right now, and the message of McCormick, which is meaningful, affirmative, and compassion and commitment. So, Maggie, I know that you have taken this message a little further and put that into developing and helping to develop a place called Trinity Sober Living for Men. Can you talk about that with us and tell us what that's all about?
Absolutely. Trinity Sober Living was, Cormac was the first resident at Trinity, and it is in the western suburbs. It holds such a special place in my heart. The work that they do, the compassion, the commitment, these are people that walk the walk and talk the talk. And a beautiful integration of safety, which doesn't always come in recovery homes, accountability, a very fostered home environment. And Cormac did beautifully at Trinity. He really did. They saw my kid for who he was, and there was no judgment, and they integrated and helped him get a job and helped him get on his feet, helped him learn life skills. And when Cormac died, you know, what do you do? What do you do with this? And I felt such an affinity for the work that they do, and will continue to fight for those that are clients there and still struggling. And we started a scholarship in Cormac's name immediately. I didn't want flowers. I didn't want this. I wanted action. I wanted to pay it forward, because I will tell you, as horrific as this journey was for 9 years, and I will not go into specifics, but I will tell you, we checked every ugly box in this journey, our family. I saw the face of God at every turn, by the people and the compassion that did for Cormac and did for us. And so I'm kind of a no-surrender girl, and I'm a purposeful person, and I just look to give back, you know, to this community and to Trinity Sober Living for all they continue to do for people on their journey to health and peace.
And you mentioned you set up a scholarship fund at Trinity Sober Living, and the website is trinitysoberliving.com/donate. Please go to the website. Please take a look at the 6,100 square foot house and the 7 bedrooms and 4 full baths and fireplaces and a wonderful place for sober living in the Midwest. Please check it out because anyone is available. Anyone is able to participate and to go and certainly make a donation in Cormac's behalf. And if you want further information, you can come to me and call 800-889-1757. Pushy Broad from the Bronx. As always, I will be happy to pass on that information. So now that we're moving forward, tell me how, from a mother's perspective, give me the messages that you want to project to mothers and parents out there. Tell me what you want to say.
First, you're not alone. You are truly not alone. There are so many people, I think, that struggle in silence. Though their loved ones are struggling in silence, and part of my message is that you don't need to struggle in silence. I think opening yourself up to resources and services and those that love you to share this journey with you is phenomenally helpful. The Burks would not be standing intact today, the four of us, Kieran, Maraid, Kevin, and myself, if it wasn't for the phenomenal support and strength of my friends and my family. I think you cut yourself off from so much support by holding this to yourself. I think as parents, you do not have all the answers. There is nothing in a parent handbook to get you through this. Seeking out professional resources. Cormac was in therapeutic services. We got into therapy to get guidance and help us navigate through completely uncharted waters that kept changing. And, you know, trying things and things don't work and trying other things. And so I think it's phenomenally important to realize you're in crisis and to, as you want your loved one to reach out for help, you have to reach out for help as well in that process.
Absolutely, for sure. And, of course, in recovery and all about this disease, I want you to outline for us what our mantra is, and that's the four C's. Would you outline that for us?
Yes, absolutely. And ironically, I mean, I woke up and I said this to myself every day. I had to. I had to say it to myself. I had to live it. We did not cause this. We cannot change this. We cannot cure this, and we do not control this. And for a mother, I'm just speaking, that is a hard pill to swallow. We are nurturers. We are fixers by nature, but you really have to stand back and look at how this presents and be very aware of codependencies, of behaviors that your loved one may show, how to keep everyone on the same page and communicate with the family that's struggling along with their loved one. Cormac and I used to have this huge disagreement, and he would say, "Mom, this is my journey, my recovery." Absolutely, but I said, when you go down that rabbit hole, four people go with you out of fear and love. This is a disease of the family. It is not Cormac over and struggling. We are all struggling in this process.
No, that is absolutely right. And that's why, and I know, Dr. Pat, you'll agree with me, that's why it's so important for us to understand that this is a family disease and everybody is involved, especially the loved ones. And again, I just wanted to focus on this, and I know, Dr. Pat, you want to comment. You cannot control it. You cannot change it. You did not cause it, and you cannot cure it. We cannot say that enough. That is like the four commandments in a recovery situation. And Dr. Pat, that's sometimes what you have to say to yourself when you're an empath, right?
Yeah.
Those words.
Yeah. I think the other thing we learned too is, you know, there's so much that the three of us could share about, you know, what happens when we're looking at somebody that is in an active state. You know, what happens to them? You know, they are not the person that you knew. They're not the son. They're not the daughter. They're not the brother. They're not the sister. They're not the mother. And what I mean by that is that we understand the nature of one, of what mental illness does, the rewiring. We know that. We know chemical imbalances. We know that. And then you add them two together. And yet, if there's any message, is when you're seeing your loved one like this, it's exactly like Ellen said. But there's a thing you can do. You can understand they're in their disease. They're in their ism. And there may not be these other things that you can do, except be the best person you can be for them in that moment. And that's one of the greatest challenges we have right now. Because most parents are not trained in that. Most people are not. Simone Biles, still, to this day, is taking criticism on. I mean, some of the tweets on her, you know, just honestly. Because why? We don't understand it.
Right. That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right. Look, the new movie, Elvis. Okay, did you see the new movie?
Not yet.
Oh, my God. Okay, it's all about this, and it's all about being captured under this spell, and it's all about how it takes one down, and it's all about how that old thinking, that 1950s, 1960s thinking prevailed where everybody shoves it under the rug, that it is not a big deal, that it's not a real thing. But it takes such a unique individual like Maggie to come to the front and say, this happened to my son, and I want you to know about it. So we really, really do applaud you for that. Mm-hmm. So now I want you to talk to us a little bit more about Mac's message. I mean, you talked about meaningful affirmation and compassion. Let's talk a little bit more about what you feel Mac would want us to know.
I think he would just want you to know he was just an ordinary person, no different than anybody else, and he struggled with certain things. And he said this time and time again, that just commonality, that relatable level. Part of his message is about his compassionate spirit and the beauty of him, but it's also about his deepest struggles. And in an effort to help people connect and maybe not struggle, or maybe help a family. I think he was very compassionate to others. We stood at his wake, and it was during COVID, 9 hours next to him. The stories that came out were so empowering about how he loved and how he helped. I think in the big picture, he couldn't love himself enough. And I think that's a deep message for people, that it is hard to love yourself, but I think he struggled so much with that. He struggled to be able to receive the love back, even though it was there for the taking, to forgive himself, that you are more, I think learning you are more than your worst decisions, you are more than your addiction, you are more than your struggle, and separating that there is still a human being there. Our kid was always still there, and I thank God for that, because a lot of stories you hear, people don't get that. Their loved one goes off the grid or their loved one disappears. He always fought so hard to be a part of us, and we fought equally as hard to be with him. And whether that was sometimes it had to be at a distance, and it could not be under our own roof, as Dr. Pat said. He needed to walk that journey with people who could help him the best. So at different times, there was a different level of connection, but the love, we always began with, you are so loved and you are so worth this fight. And we always ended with that, no matter what conversation we were having with him. And I think that's so important.
Isn't that amazing, Dr. Pat? This is so great. I love that she says over and over again, you are so worth this fight.
Yeah. Yeah, because when you are that person, that's not the way you feel about yourself. And so I want to be very clear about it. I was talking to, I did a show and I made a comment, and I should have clarified the comment a little bit further about those of us that have gone down the path and had the impact we have on other people as we go down this path. But one of the things I think we're talking about here today, underneath all of this, there is a human being worth saving. See?
Yes.
And
there's
not
a
only
human
that,
being worth saving. And not only that, but what Maggie, I think, is so powerful at is not only coming from a parent point of view and explaining to parents what they need and how they should come with compassion and openness and awareness, but the message is more than that. The message actually comes from Mac to other people like him struggling, especially the youth and the young adult population today, saying things like, you are worth this fight, and no matter what, I hear you and we see you, and mothers and fathers and parents will do just as much to tear down this stigma as people that, like us, Dr. Pat, who are recovering alcoholics and addicts and fighting to bring the message out. How much more powerful it is when we have moms and dads like Maggie and Kevin on our
And we have to support Maggie, and this is the one thing I want to say. Yes, this is a great message, but I want to tell you how Maggie and what Maggie is doing gets supported. We have to be willing to donate. We have to be willing to put money towards saving lives. We have to be willing to say, you know, I'm not sure when, how, when, if, where, but yes, I want to contribute to something that is beyond pandemic. You know, when you look at what we're talking about nationally and post, oh my goodness, they don't even have the right numbers yet. They can't even capture it yet. And then when you look at that globally, and we're looking at the impact of anxiety, the only way this is going to work is if we put our money where our mouth is. And that is basically, you've got to be able to support what Maggie's doing. You've got to be able to donate. You've got to be able to say, yes, I will help. Because that is the way it works here in the United States. People fund these things themselves, and that's what's so important about this, because I don't want this just to be a conversation, because when we're talking about recovery, addiction, mental wellness, that is a conversation and an action. See, talk, act. Isn't that what we're doing today, Ellen, Maggie?
Absolutely, and this is the purpose. So let me go over it again. Please donate to Cormac Burke Scholarship Fund at trinitysoberliving.com/donate. You will be able to help pay for the recovery and the recovery residence for another struggling young man. And this is part of what we need to do to get one more person in recovery. trinitysoberliving.com/donate, or come and call me, Pushy Broad from the Bronx, 800-889-1757 if you're in the States. If you are down under, then please go to my website, pushybroadfromthebronx.com. Send me an email, shoot me a message, and I will get you information for Trinity Sober Living.
Mm-hmm.
So that's as
well. I also think it's very important in the messaging and the narrative of all this for people to realize these are relentless diseases.
Yes.
Diseases. And they are fought courageously and battled, but these diseases are unforgiving if they go unchecked. And the stakes are so high. And people have no idea the amount of courage that it takes for people to wake up every single day and battle on a daily basis, on sometimes an hourly basis or a minute basis. And I think projecting that understanding to people is paramount, that they didn't ask for this. Yet they're, you know, these are warriors. And they are, and I have learned so much. You know, I give, but what I get back from those in recovery,
oh yeah,
tenfold. They teach me so much about me, and I think there's phenomenal messages in everybody's journey, you know, and meaning as well.
Hmm.
There's no question that there is. And we see it, don't we, Dr. Pat, on the faces of our patients, like the person that you mentioned this past weekend that you struggled with. We see the pain, we see the suffering, we see the anxiety, but we still see them coming back. They sit in front of me on a weekly basis, sometimes on a daily basis, and they never give up. And just because it is not a diagnosable disease that will show up on an X-ray or an MRI, does not mean that it is not as insidious and dangerous as something that one can plainly see with an X-ray. Correct?
And let's talk about this last thing, too, if we could. And I think it's important, Maggie. I think you mentioned it now. Families keep this a secret. They kept my mom's situation a secret, but my stepmom kept her letters. That's how I found out. Had they not kept the situation with my mom a secret, we may have been able to save my sister's life. The fact that my stepmother shared the letters that my mom wrote from Bellevue Hospital, right before her second attempt, saved my life. We cannot do this in secret. And isn't that what you are saying? We have to break the cycle of shame.
Absolutely. My mother, who is a phenomenally strong individual, told me, you know, God gave you a voice and don't be afraid to use it. And, you know, I will sing from the rooftops to continue to get support. And people have blessed me with opportunities to speak. They've had 5Ks in Cormac's honor to speak. His wrestling coach had a whole message of Mac in a wrestling night, and they have shamrocks on their singlets. The message continues to live on, and his goodness continues to live on. And that is the way that helps me through my grief to connect, to continue to connect and do good, because there was so much good in this kid that it still has places to go, you know.
It's a wonderful message from a very, very difficult circumstance, and I'm sure it has affected your whole family. So how is the family doing now?
You know, we're doing well. I mean, when I look back and I was talking to someone about Cormac's journey, and it's amazing we are still standing with what we were. I mean, and I don't say that lightly. And I will tell you, it's amazing. Kevin and I, we are a solid team. You know, and our kids, we have beautiful kids. They're finding their path, their non-chaotic path, which I think is so important, because it was just chaos through 9 years and waiting for the other shoe to drop. And we're trying to save a young man who keeps jumping in the deep end. And we've got two other kids. You know, when this started, Mairead was 9, you know, and they had to sacrifice so much in this journey, because we kept throwing life preservers. You know, you're trying to parent over here, and you're trying to cover over here, and you're trying to cover all these bases. And it did help phenomenally that we let people in, because people did for our kids, and we had to let that happen. And I think we're a loving, tight-knit, and I said, you know, we are unbreakable. We have been to hell and back, and nothing moving forward is going to break us, because that's what Cormac would want. You know, Cormac, we are driving from his strength and his fight and his courage, and just continuing to live our lives and see what that brings us and how we can connect to his memory and to him on a daily basis.
And certainly none of that would have been possible if you didn't actively seek to make the family whole again and work on it in a way that very few people decide to, because this breaks up families, doesn't it, Dr. Pat?
There's no question about it. And, you know, the uncertainty and the lack of understanding. I mean, you know, when I realized what the pattern was in my family, when I understood my story about my mom's disease and how I was brought into the world. And, you know, when you're brought into the world and your mom is drinking and using and she's carrying a pregnancy, there are consequences to that. And secrets do not help us. That's why you keep hearing me mention, and you did too today, Ellen, you did it, pop culture things that are coming out about this. You know, how young people... Sitting through the series Euphoria is tough, but man, the message is brilliant. And Maggie, for you to come out and carry the shield, you see, because this is a courageous walk. People think that we're having this conversation and there are not consequences. We will get off this call and there will be a text message or an email to me or a tweet to me about somebody saying, get off your horse. I mean, we'll get that. It's not going to stop me.
Mm-hmm. Right. And yes. But there will also be, I will get messages, I will get emails.
Exactly.
That will say to me, thank you.
Exactly.
Thank you. And those are the ones I pray for. I don't care if we get 10 don't do this again messages. As long as I get one thank you, as far as I'm concerned, that's what makes this worthwhile. And we are going to continue to do that. We are definitely going to tear down this wall. So, Maggie, we've got about a minute left for you. Do me a favor and give us a last message. What do you want the message for our listeners to be left with today? What do you want to take away?
I think love, support, worthiness. Worthiness at every level and unconditional love, and openness and awareness, I guess, would be, it was how Cormac lived his journey, and we learned from him. And so, as I said, I stand on those courageous shoulders and of those still battling. Their courage is immense, and they are worthy of feeling better and getting better at any cost or any juncture in their lives.
And also that moms and dads should never give up the fight no matter what and should learn more and become involved and really educate themselves so that they have an active role in this, because you're all in this together, correct?
Yeah, yeah, boy.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much for your courage and your resilience, and our best wishes to the Burke family for a good year and a good beginning to 23. We thank you so much for being with us on the air today. If you want to donate on behalf of Cormac Burke, again, it is trinitysoberliving.com/donate or my 800 number, 800-889-1757. Call me. I'll get you further information, or go to pushybroadfromthebronx.com. Dr. Bat, why don't you finish us up?
I'm telling you, when you go to Trinity, it's very easy. You go to Trinity, over on the right, it says donate. That is one of the most powerful things you could do to help us stomp out this disease and raise level of awareness. This is bringing the journey of a young man and a family that has gone through the pain of this, but is showing up today like warriors in earth skin and in spirit. And there's nothing more powerful than that. So all y'all out there, a hand, help us out. Help save a life. That's my message.
You've been listening to Recovery Recharged with certified life and recovery coach Ellen Stewart, Pushy Broad from the Bronx. Don't miss your next opportunity to let me help you recharge your recovery, let go of your secrets, and change the way...